Being a dad is one of the great privileges of my life. Give my son a BB gun, and that's just about all the emotional support he needs. My daughter, on the other hand, I've heard people say that there are no differences between male and female. Those people are idiots. I'm a husband. I'm a father of four. I host a talk show. I give speeches. I write books. I like to make sense of things. But making sense of females is a whole other matter. Even astrophysicist Stephen Hawking, who could come up with a theory on black holes, was completely dumbfounded by women.
Women, they are a complete mystery.
And now our culture is telling us that the differences between girls and boys don't matter. That if you identify as something, then you are that thing. How do we help our kids make sense of this when they're bombarded with conflicting messages about gender and identity? Forget trying to figure out women. The real question is, what is a woman?
As you grow, your body changes from that of a young girl to that of a woman. Soon, Molly will be a young woman, having dates, going to dances in lovely romantic dresses.
The boy's shoulders are broad and his body muscular, while the girl's body is more curved.
I'd like to know more about different kinds of hormones.
The presence of these hormones in the blood brings about many changes in the bodies of both boys and girls.
Being a woman is one of the things I like best about myself. I think you'll like it too.
I like to come out here to think. Nature seems to always tell the truth, even when we don't want to hear it. Truth is, I'm not very good at fishing. But what is truth? Is there a truth? Is this what progress looks like? Can my boys really become girls? Do I have four daughters? Do I now have to pay for four weddings? Is there a son trapped in my daughter's body? If so, how do I get him out? Are any of my kids who they claim to be? Who are these people? Who am I? I better see a therapist.
In the state of Tennessee, I'm a licensed marital and family therapist, which basically means I've been trained up to think about like systems, family systems, how we were raised up, how that shapes who we are today.
So on your website, if you'll bear with me,
sure.
Quoting, you say, I use a combination of approaches in my therapeutic work, including anti-oppression, feminist, and narrative frameworks. I rely deeply on systems theory and understanding that individuals are products of and in dialogue with our surroundings, including our families, broader culture, workplaces, nature, and political climates. What does that mean?
Yeah, so thinking about the modalities that I use, I'm definitely informed by like feminist family therapy and the ideas that we live in gendered worlds where there are certain imperatives that are placed on us about who we are and what we do based on how we've been gendered. From the minute I was assigned female, I was told, okay, these are the kind of clothing that you're going to wear. These are the kind of the type of play that you're going to engage in as a child, the path that maybe your life will take because of social expectations.
What do you mean by assigned female? Who assigns female?
Yeah, so most times people, when they're born, they're assigned a gender.
By the
doctors. Yeah.
What do they base that assignment on?
So basically it's based on genitalia. So people looking at genitalia and deciding, okay, this is a girl or a boy. And we know now that like that sex and gender are so much more than just this binary. Some women have penises, right? Some men have vaginas. That's not how gender works.
How do we know that that's not true? Where did we learn that from?
Yeah, well, I learned that from hearing from transgender people who've said, like, oh, I'm a trans woman, and just because I happen to have a penis, right, that doesn't mean that this is, like, who I am as a person, or that genitalia doesn't equal gender, who they are, their gender expression, that, yeah, a trans woman is a woman.
With the fluidity of these things, how do I know if I'm a woman? You know,
That's a great question.
I like scented candles. And
yeah.
I've watched Sex and the City.
Yeah.
So how do I know?
Yeah, Matt, that question right there, like, that question is, like, when it's asked with a lot of curiosity, right, that's the beginning of a lot of people's, like, gender identity development journeys.
If my mom who gave birth to me is a woman, mm-hmm. and my wife is a woman, though I haven't asked her. Maybe I should. But if they're all women, and also the boy who sits down with you and says, I think I'm a girl, actually is one, then what is a woman?
Mm. Yeah. Great question. I'm not a woman, so I can't really answer that.
I thought therapy would make me less confused. Am I the only one feeling this way? I need to hit the road and find out. We're talking about gender in society. Let me start with a real basic question. What is a woman?
A woman?
I don't want to assume, but you guys are all women?
Yeah, we're all women.
Yes, we're women.
So how would you define it, like, in the simplest terms?
That is hard.
Yeah, it is. It is a stumper.
A woman is someone that likes to be pretty and think of themselves as a delicate creature.
I'm pretty and delicate.
Okay.
Well, I could be a woman, too.
Yes, you could.
Defining womanhood is just a project of someone who identifies as a woman.
Yeah, but what do they identify? You see what I'm saying? What do they identify as? They identify as a woman, but what is that?
I honestly don't know.
It's a simple question. So why is it so hard to answer? This is going to take some serious investigation. For all of human existence, women were understood to be a certain thing. So what changed? No one can seem to answer the question now. Over 2,000 surgeries and counting, Dr. Marcy Bowers is the nation's preeminent sex change surgeon. Surely someone who does sex change surgeries can answer what a woman is. Dr. Marcy Bowers, first of all, thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
So you're a world-renowned gynecologist and surgeon. You're also a transgender woman. Can you tell me a little bit about...
Well, I mean, I identify as a woman, but...
You're a woman, right.
I'm a woman with... I mean, that's my life, day to day, but I have a transgender history.
Hmm. So one thing, on your website, it says GAV, gender-affirming vaginoplasty.
Mm-hmm.
What is that exactly?
A vaginoplasty is creation of female... a female vagina and vulva. We're altering the physical characteristics of the individual to fit better with a gender identity that is female.
This is all constructed from the penis?
Yes, that's right. The surgeries are quite refined in the sense that they really, not only do they look like female anatomy, but they also function that way, for the most part. I mean, certainly it's a bit of a Faustian bargain. You know, it's not perfect.
Does anyone ever regret their surgeries? Well, we know they do, but how often do people regret their surgeries?
Well, actually, we don't know that they do. There are legitimate detransitioners, and there are people who truly feel that in their journey, they may have made a mistake. Now, fortunately, this is a really, really uncommon phenomenon.
I don't know if you've ever heard of people in the trans-abled community. These are people who are physically able-bodied but feel like they should be disabled. Or
identify as such. For example, a man who has two arms but feels like he should have one. If a man in this kind of marginalized community went to the doctor and said, I want to have my arm cut off, do you think that...
That doesn't have anything to do with gender identity.
Well, it's someone's self-identity, how someone identifies.
That's someone who has and I'll accept it as a mental diagnosis, a psychiatric condition. I don't even pretend to know what aptamenophilia is all about. But somehow it's the idea that you know, you're fascinated or charmed by having a limb or part of a limb missing.
Mm.
Okay, I would say that's, pardon my non-medical language, kooky.
You don't see any? You think this is totally irrelevant?
Yep.
So the biggest, broadest question is, what is a woman?
A woman is a, you know, it's a combination of your physical attributes and then what you're showing to the world and the gender clues that you give. And hopefully those match your gender identity.
The critics on the other side of this, of this issue.
There aren't many, but go ahead.
There aren't many who would disagree with what you're saying about...
Well, you know, the dinosaurs of the world are certainly out there.
How long have you been running the shop here?
25 years.
Wow. Now, you had an incident here a little while ago that went really viral online. Lots of reaction in the public.
Aberdeen Councilwoman Tiesa Meskis confronted owner Don Suker about a sign he posted in his store.
One day I just put the sign up over here, and he came around the corner, and I thought, okay, I recognize him. I says, I recognize you. You're our new city councilman. He says, no, I'm your new city councilwoman. So it was kind of on from there.
You know what? It's bullshit.
No, what you're spouting is bullshit.
No, it's not. Trans women are women, sir. That sign is bullshit.
I've been doing this 25 years. I've never had a problem with anybody, whether they're gay, transsexual, anything.
Now, you're saying councilman, this individual was saying, I'm a woman.
Right.
And then, and you said you're not a woman. How do you know that that person's not a woman?
How do I know?
Yeah.
Well, common sense.
Trans women are women!
Doesn't the science say that if someone identifies as a woman, then they are?
No, no. Now, that's completely bogus. I don't care if you think you're a sheepdog and you come into my store, it don't matter to me. Just don't come in and try to shove that shit down my throat.
If it makes someone feel better, what about their feelings?
I mean, I don't give a shit about their feelings. I'm old.
What about in the Star Wars universe? Jar Jar Binks, pansexual, do you think? Transgender?
Why would I even care?
If it's his truth.
Well, it ain't true.
You're not a scientist. You're not a gender studies major. Or are you?
No.
No? Okay. How do you know that you're a man?
How do I know that I'm a man? I guess because I got a dick.
Huh. Well, I guess Don isn't overthinking it. He admits he's not a gender studies major. Or at the very least, a doctor. Maybe I should go talk to one.
My name is Michelle Forcier, and I have a medical degree from University of Connecticut, residency, University of Utah Pediatrics, and I've worked for a number of different Planned Parenthoods for 20 years. I do advanced contraception and abortion, as well as gender hormones, and sort of looking at the whole sort of schema of gender, sex, and reproductive justice.
So you've done a lot of work in this field. Could you just start by telling us?
Sure.
At what age can a child first begin to transition into another gender or identify themselves as a gender different from how they were born?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's research and data that show that babies and infants understand differences in gender. Some children figure out their gender really early, and the reason why we are say, oh, that's interesting or important, is because they're figuring out their gender identity is not necessarily congruent with their sex assigned at birth.
When the doctor sees the penis and says, this is a male, has the sex of male, that's an arbitrary distinction.
Telling that family, based on that little penis, that your child is absolutely 100% male-identified, no matter what else occurs in their life, that's not correct.
So what is gender affirmation care? You're a big proponent of, if we walk through, yeah, a child is sitting down with you, is questioning,
yeah,
their gender. What's the gender affirmation process?
Affirmation means that as a pediatrician, as someone who says my job is to provide the best medical care for you, is I need to listen really carefully. And how I put it in words for kids so that they can understand it is, tell me your story. Where have you been in terms of your gender and your gender identity? Where are you right now? And more excitingly, where would you like to be in the future?
Have you ever met a four-year-old who believes in Santa Claus?
Mm-hmm.
So this is someone who believes that a fat man is traveling through the sky on a flying reindeer at lightning speed, coming down his chimney with presents. Would you say that this is someone who maybe has a tenuous grasp on reality?
They have an appropriate four-year-old handle on the,
sure,
reality.
Agreed.
That's very real for them.
Agreed. Agreed. But Santa Claus is real for them, but
yeah,
Santa Claus is not actually real.
Yeah, well, but Santa Claus does deliver their Christmas presents.
Well, yeah, but he's not real, though.
To that child, they are.
When I see a child who, you know, believes in Santa Claus, and then let's say this is a boy and he says, I'm a girl.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone who can't distinguish between fantasy and reality, so how could you take that as a reality?
I would say that as a pediatrician and as a parent, I would say how wonderful my four-year-old and their imagination is.
Aren't kids famous for their active imaginations? Should we really let our children define reality?
If I say that I feel a certain way, then obviously you can't tell me I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
But just because I feel that way, does that mean that it's true?
I mean, if it's your reality.
If it's your reality.
It's truly like none of my business who you
are. So we all have our own
identity.
Realities? What if I said, I want you to say that it's true that I'm a woman? Would you say that?
You're a woman.
I would also say that.
If you want.
I
honestly don't care. Like, whatever makes you happy.
What's true to you can be false to me. So, like, it's like...
What if I said that it's true? My truth is that you don't exist. Does that mean you no longer exist?
I mean, if that's your truth, sure. I don't. Because
But
like,
you do.
Well, I mean, if you're saying that I do, then I do.
Well, but even if I said that you don't, you still do, because we're having this conversation.
I mean, are we?
I think so. I mean, I thought...
That's what you think.
Well, I should have known it would be hard to define reality in Hollywood. I should probably look to the place where truth is the foremost pursuit, the American University.
What we do in gender studies is not just reduce gender to what psychologists might call individual differences, but rather thinking about gender. And that's not women and man, but gender as a social form, something that kind of infuses itself into virtually all aspects of social life.
Let's talk about that then. I guess we should start with, we've got gender and sex, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference between the two? Is there a difference?
I saw that in your questions and I thought, my goodness, this is what we spend an entire semester kind of thinking through. But what we tend to think about in the social sciences today is that sex refers to a set of biological characteristics, and gender is a social construct or category. What I think is often misleading about that characterization is allowed to be sort of messy and complicated. But in that framing, when you split them up into these wholly discrete constructs, studies scholars, and really more specifically people who study gender and sex, we're not talking about sexuality right now. In the kind of academic universe that I travel in, is that we see how deeply gendered ideas, cultural ideas about masculinity and femininity, maleness and femaleness, both in humans and in lots of other animals.
So are gender and sex two different things, or?
Well, I think that they both are and they aren't. I'm comfortable saying that gender and sex are two different constructs, but they're deeply intertwined with each other.
We're talking about gender and sex, and there's a lot of controversies there. If we're talking about a trans woman has all of the male physical characteristics, so would that not be a male then? Couldn't we plainly say this person is a male?
Well, I guess it's like, why are you asking the question? I think I want to understand sort of why that's so important. So if someone tells
just
you...
Just to sort of understand reality, you know?
Well, I mean, I think when someone tells you who they are, you should believe them. So if a person says that they're a woman or they're a man, then that's them telling you their gender is. I'm not so sure what social... interactions would have to do with maleness or femaleness that would be...
I'm not even talking about social context. I'm just trying to start by getting to the truth, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really uncomfortable with that language of, like, getting to the truth. Again, in social
Why is that uncomfortable?
Because it sounds actually deeply transphobic to me. And if you keep probing, we're going to stop the interview.
If I probe about what the truth is?
You keep invoking the word truth, which is condescending and rude. I'm saying to you...
How is the word truth condescending and rude?
Why don't you tell me what your truth is, and you're walking on 30 seconds more of thin ice before I get up.
What my truth is? Well, I don't think I really have a truth. I think that there's just the truth, like the reality. And so we should begin by trying to figure out what the reality is.
Uh-huh. And why are you concerned with when someone else tells you that they're a man, or even if they use the word male, why are you concerned with not believing them?
Well, you keep bringing it back to, you know, how do you respond in a social situation? But
that's what I do. I'm a social scientist.
Well, right. But we're in a university. This is a place of understanding truth, isn't it? Or
absolutely. We pursue truth, and so I'm a social scientist, and that's what I do.
You just said the truth is transphobic.
That you would say, if you're saying the truth is that I get to say, you're not a man, show me your genitalia, that's transphobic.
No, I don't want to see anybody's genitalia. I just mean someone can make a statement about themselves that could be untrue. Like, for example, if I were to say that I'm a black man, would you accept that, or would you be skeptical?
Are you black? Are you African American? Are you biracial?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you don't look that, and I don't think it doesn't sound like that's a genuine statement of who you are.
Okay, so that's my point. I could make a statement about who I am that's incorrect.
Of course, I think it's well established that human beings can lie, yes.
Or not even lie. I mean, I could just be mistaken.
Yeah.
Not sure what you're doing. I guess this all comes back, this all comes down to really one question. Especially women, gender and sexuality studies. So what is a woman?
Why do you ask that question?
I just really like to know.
What do you think the answer to that question is?
Well, I'm asking. That's why I came to a college professor this is what you do.
What other kinds of answers have you gotten?
A lot of like this, where you're not answering, and I've gotten a lot of that. So
I think it's interesting that you say that some of the people you've interviewed have been reluctant to answer it, and I think that has a lot to do with the way the questions that preceded it and the way that you've conducted yourself in the interview.
How have I conducted myself?
How do you think you've conducted yourself?
You just really don't want to answer the questions, do you?
I came today very willing and enthusiastic about answering questions about women's and gender sexuality studies, which is
so
the
you
work
wanted
that
to,
I do.
You wanted to answer questions about women's studies, and so shouldn't the first answer you should be able to provide is what exactly is a woman?
Well, for me, it's actually a really simple answer, and that's a person who identifies as a woman.
But what are they identifying as?
As a woman.
But what is that?
As a woman.
Do you know what a circular definition is?
I do.
It's sort of like what you're doing right now, where a woman is a woman.
Mm-hmm. Because you're seeking what we would call in my field of work an essentialist definition of gender. I think it sounds like you would like me to give you a set of biological or cultural characteristics that are associated with one gender or the other.
I'm not seeking any type of definition. I'm just seeking a definition.
Yeah, and I gave you one.
Well, now I can say I've been to college. Glad I didn't pay for it. Is there anyone willing to give me a straight answer? Ideally, somebody with a bunch of medical degrees on the wall. Dr. Grossman, thanks for talking to us. You're a psychiatrist, medical doctor, and you've done a lot of work in child psychiatry. What is transgenderism from a psychiatric standpoint?
The best way to approach it is by speaking about gender dysphoria, which is an intense loathing and discomfort with one's biological sex. They exist anywhere between 1 in 30,000 people and 1 in 110,000. It's important to distinguish those people from what's happening much more recently, which is kids that never had any discomfort or dysphoria, as it's now called, with their biological sex. And then quite suddenly, as preteens or as adolescents, they come out and they announce that they are gender fluid, or they start to question their sex. So first, let's define the terms sex and gender.
Yes, please.
Sex is biology. Sex is unchanging. It's based on chromosomes. 99.999% of the cells in the body are marked either male or female. Gender, on the other hand, is a perception. It's a feeling. It's a way of identifying. It's an experience. Okay, that's subjective.
It sounds like what you're saying is that if a man is male but thinks of himself as a woman, he's not actually a woman?
That's correct.
Male gametes. That's what makes me male.
No, your sperm don't make you male.
Then what does?
It's a constellation.
In reality, in truth, okay?
Whose truth are we talking about?
The same truth that says we're sitting in this room right now, you and I.
No, you're not listening.
If I see a chicken laying eggs and I say that's a female chicken laying eggs, did I assign female, or am I just observing a physical reality that's happening in the world?
Does a chicken have gender identity? Does a chicken cry?
Well,
does a chicken commit suicide? Let's frame it, because you're trying to...
Chicken has sex like any biological organism.
A chicken has an assigned gender, but a chicken doesn't have a gender identity.
So we assign female to chickens when they lay eggs?
We assume they're female if they lay eggs.
Now, I was told that really everyone agrees with the current approach to gender and transitioning kids and all of that. And if you don't agree, that you're a dinosaur and a bigot. So are you a bigoted dinosaur?
I am not bigoted, and I am not a dinosaur. I am rooted in reality and in science.
Whose reality?
There's one reality.
The first race that I competed against a transgender athlete was during my freshman year. And once the gun went off, the two transgender athletes took off flying and left all of us girls in the dust. Throughout all 4 years of high school, I was forced to compete against biological males. I only competed against them in the sprinting events, but I raced against these athletes over a dozen times throughout the years, and every single time I lost.
Did they inch you out of medals that you would have won otherwise, or trophies you would have won?
They beat me out by 20 meters out of medals and qualifying spots. I missed out on qualifying for New England's. I had to go in the long jump and the 4x200 meter relay, so I was forced on the sidelines in my own event, and if they were not there, I would have been able to qualify. So I missed out on so much throughout my high school career.
Did they win all the events or almost all the events?
Between the two of them, they won every single event they competed in.
How does that feel?
It is so frustrating and heartbreaking because we elite female athletes train so hard to shave just fractions of a second off of our time. And going into races knowing that we will never be able to win.
Feels like all that work gone to waste.
It does. After so many losses, it just gets to the point of, why am I even doing this? Why am I keep training so hard and sacrificing so much just to place third and beyond?
Case in Connecticut, there were two male track runners.
Transition. They were trans girls.
Right. And who decided that they were going to race against the girls. And you look at those individuals, you look at their times against the men, against the boys, so they were kind of middle of the pack. And then they're racing the girls, and they're, you know, first and second place. Is that indicative of some kind of unfair advantage that those individuals might have against the girls?
No, it's not indicative of an unfair advantage. And I think part of the proof of this is that more transgender girls are coming out in high school and still playing sports. And they're not winning. You know, the Connecticut case is the exception. It got a lot of attention because those two trans girls performed well. But there are many more trans girls competing in sports, and they don't excel.
Yeah,
because
kinda,
at the end of the day, whether or not you win a game is not is about how hard you work in your practice, and most of us aren't going to win. And that goes for transgender athletes, too.
Let's go, girls.
The norm is that transgender youth don't win that much in sports games.
Alana McLaughlin was very appreciative for Provost to take this fight. I don't know how appreciative is now, but she got a couple punches in.
It is very much the exception when a transgender young person does win.
And the tap!
And it's because there's not really an advantage to being trans. Only a few people are going to lead the pack.
There are some slight differences, but does it translate to a competitive advantage? I think you'd be very hard-pressed to prove that.
If there was a big advantage to being transgender in sports, then we would see transgender women totally dominate.
And over the last half of the pool, nobody will touch Leah Thomas.
Feel like a woman. Transgender swimmer Leah Thomas breaking barriers and records. But in a new article, Sports Illustrated calls the college senior the most controversial athlete in America.
Leah obviously helps us do better, right? Leah's swimming really fast. Leah's performance helps the University of Pennsylvania swim team. The feeling of winning doesn't feel as good anymore because it feels tainted. There was a lot of things you couldn't talk about that were very concerning, like a locker room situation. If you even brought up concerns about it, you were transphobic. If you even bring up the fact that Leah swimming might not be fair, you were immediately shut down as being called a hateful person or transphobic.
But there's never any conversation. The coaches don't sit everyone down and acknowledge what everyone's really upset about.
So Penn actually brought in people high up in the athletic department to talk to us. They brought in someone from like the LGBTQ center. They brought in someone from the psychological services.
So you're upset about what's happening, and so you need psychological help.
Yeah, and they told us in this meeting, they said, look, we understand there's an array of emotions, but Leah swimming is a non-negotiable. However, we can help you make that okay. That's what we're here for.
So you're anonymous for this interview. Why did you decide that you can't have your face out there saying these things?
They've made it pretty clear that if you speak up about it and you say anything negative, that like your life will be over in some way. Like you'll be blasted all over the internet as a transphobe if you come out, and then you'll never be able to get a job. Like anyone who wants to hire you will look you up and see you're transphobic and your life will be over.
Let's say that I identified as a woman tomorrow and I wanted to go into the same locker room where you are. Should I be allowed to do that? As long as I identify that way?
I don't know. I just feel that other women would be uncomfortable by you walking in there.
Ella dice que qué tú piensas acerca de que los hombres que son transexuales usen baños de mujeres. ¿Tú crees que está bien?
No.
Pero dilo.
No, lo que tienen que ver.
Controversy at a health club in Koreatown over the issue of gender.
That's right. Video of spa goers complaining was posted on social media.
I just want to be clear with you. It's okay. It's okay for a man to go into the women's section, show his penis around the other women, young little girls underage. Your spa, we spa, condone that. Is that what you're saying? Like I asked. It's so he can stay there. He can stay there. What sexual orientation? I see a dick.
Police identified the person involved as 52-year-old Darren Moreger of Riverside County. Moreger, who has been a registered sex offender since 2006, now faces 5 felony counts of indecent exposure.
Hello, I'm Congressman Mark Takano. Trans Month of Visibility is a time to recognize the strength, diversity, and resiliency of the transgender community. Together, we can make our country and our world a more accepting place by speaking out against transphobia at the source and supporting the trans community by getting the Equality Act signed into law.
Congressman, thank you for being here. Thanks for joining us. You are the first member of Congress who's a member of the LGBT community and also a person of Asian descent. You're also a big proponent of the Equality Act.
Yes.
What is the Equality Act? If you were to just summarize it very briefly, I know it does a lot.
The most simplest way to talk about the Equality Act is that it simply amends the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity. So public accommodations is one area.
What's a way that someone who's LGBT could be discriminated in public accommodations currently?
Currently, public accommodations is the whole area of, hotels and motels and
bathrooms and sports teams. Is that?
I say bathrooms, yeah. Sports teams, athletic events.
Let's get into more specific policy issues. There are some women who say, and I've talked to a few who say this. They say, hey, I'd like some privacy in the bathroom. I'd prefer not to encounter naked penises, frankly. They say even that the penis is a telltale sign that someone is a male. I mean, there are people who kind of really bought into the rumor that only men have penises. What? How do we account for that? How do you respond to that?
Well, what I would say is that most transgender people that I know, and it's a very, I think, distinct minority of people. We're talking not about a lot of people. I think a person who wants to use a woman's bathroom, who identifies as transgender, really does think of themselves as a female. So how we go about trying to, respect their basic right to live, I think will be, an important part of this law. And
with the
bathrooms,
law.
Well, wait a minute, bathrooms are, where you want to take this conversation instead of the basic right to just life is something that I'm kind of mystified that you're kind of not focusing on first, that we're going straight to the controversy over bathrooms. So, I think this interview is over.
I think this interview is over.
I just had one last question.
The interview's over.
Please, we want to know what is a woman?
Please. Let's turn off the cameras.
Excuse me. So we're going to end the interview. If you guys could please pack up and return the office exactly.
I just wanted to know.
Okay.
I came all this way to know what.
Thank you.
They're fair. I just wanted to know what is a woman.
And you're not going to find out.
My trip to California isn't providing many answers, but at least I'm making new friends. You worry about kids walking around out here?
No, because I raised two daughters. They're
two of the most well-adjusted adults. They grew up around naked people, and there's been studies that have shown that children raised around non-sexual nudity actually have fewer hang-ups when they're adults.
People do have hang-ups. There's a lot of things hanging right now during this conversation. Can anyone be any gender they want to be? Can a man become a woman if he wants to be?
What people do, that's personal choice. People can live the life they want to. I'm trying to live the life I want to, an authentic life, and
that's why
I respect other people's rights and to choose what they want to do.
Well, why are you asking a gay man as to what it means to be a woman? You should be asking women what it means to be a woman, especially trans women, what it means to be a woman.
I'm asking all kinds of people. Can anyone have an opinion about it?
Only people who are women. Gay men don't know nothing about what it means to be a woman.
Have you told gay men here in San Francisco that they're not allowed to talk about this?
No. But it's not like I come around and say what a gay man is allowed to be.
So you're saying if you're not a woman, then you shouldn't have an opinion.
Where does a guy get a right to say what a woman is? Women only know what women are.
Are you a cat?
No.
Can you tell me what a cat is?
This is actually a genuine mistake. I am sorry I even came up here.
You want to tell us what a woman is?
If my friend in the purple hat is correct, and only women can tell me what a woman is, I guess I need to go where the women are.
What is a woman? Can you tell me that? Well, you're at the Women's March. You must have some idea. So, I see girls, vagina. Does that mean that they're the only people who can get pregnant?
If men can get pregnant too, I think they'd want the right to choose.
But men can get pregnant?
We're saying someone who was born as a woman but identifies as a man.
Is that a real man? It's a real man.
Yeah.
So men can get pregnant.
Yes, if we're saying yes.
If they have the parts to do so.
Is it just women that give birth, or is it?
Or I guess, yeah.
So men can give birth too.
With a vagina.
Well, that could be a man or a woman.
Well, I mean, I think that's the whole point, right? That it's fluid. The way that we define these things changes a lot.
What are you doing here?
I'm asking these questions.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out what a woman is. That's why I'm here. And this is the Women's March. I figured this is a good place to find out. I've come all this way to ask that question. Can anyone tell me what a woman is?
You are not here for women. We ask you to leave.
What is that? How am I harassing? I'm asking a question.
Our bodies are choice.
Whose body?
Our bodies are choice. Our bodies are choice.
What is a woman? Can anyone here at the Women's March tell me what a woman is? How about you tell me what a woman is and I'll put a mask on? Sir. Tell me what a woman is, and I'll put a mask on. Please, if one person could tell me what a woman is. Do you guys know what a woman is, by any chance?
No idea.
I've been all over America. I still can't find an answer. Maybe I'm looking too close to home.
Come and talk to you guys, thousands of miles from America. So thank you for inviting us into your tribe, first of all.
I can say it is my pleasure to meet you and feel most welcome, but you are here to learn with me. I'm here to learn with you too.
Great.
Yes.
What's the right form here?
This tilt?
Just with the elbow?
Yeah.
I mean, they're laughing, so I guess it's not good, but I thought it was pretty good. Not good enough to be a man yet in your tribe, but what does a man do? What are his roles within the tribe?
At the role of a man, you need to work for your woman. Secondly, to have children. If you have children and you don't have something to feed them, you are not still a man.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the blood.
It's the best raw kidney I've had in my life. What if a man decides that he wants to do the roles of a woman?
In Maasai community, it will not exist at all.
Doesn't exist? What if a man decides that his gender identity is woman?
A woman has its own duty, and a man has its own duty, and a lady cannot do the duty of a man, and a man cannot do a duty of a woman.
Can a man become a woman?
No.
No?
No.
What about a transgender? Transgender?
No.
No?
It looks like if you want to become a lady but you're a man, you have something wrong in
something
your
wrong.
Mind. Something wrong in your family, something wrong in you.
What about if someone was non-binary?
Come again?
Non-binary?
Uh-huh.
Do you know, like non... Like someone is
you're not a woman, you're not a man.
Yeah, someone's like, someone is neither. There's something else. Is that?
He's saying we have never seen things like those. For a man, he has a penis. For a woman, he has a vagina. So we know this is a lady, this is a man.
What if it's a woman with a penis? What if it's a woman with a penis?
What?
Is that?
Get the money we're getting, girl. And tabo.
People are laughing. Is that a dumb question?
They're just laughing because they have never heard something like that. This is their first time.
Never heard it before.
A woman have a penis, and she's a woman.
In my country, I can't go a day without hearing it. We hear it every day. So in my country, sometimes you'll hear people say, a man will say that I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. And so they say that I have a woman trapped inside me.
They want to know a woman has the breast.
Breast. Yeah.
Secondly, she has a vagina.
Vagina.
And the question is, does this man deliver?
Does he deliver babies? No, not as far as I know.
The question is, let's say if you want to sleep a woman, definitely you'll do sex.
Sex with a woman, yeah.
And you f*** the vagina, is it? But yeah. For the man, where do you f***? He asked that question.
I don't know all the logistics of it. Based on what I'm saying, would you ever want to move to America?
They say no, never.
What is a woman if you had to give it
a definition.
She's saying a woman delivered,
yeah,
a man cannot.
So it sounds like you don't spend a lot of time thinking about gender. You just kind of live your lives. You don't think much about it.
He said, no, because we believe that's a God plan.
God's plan?
He's saying that I'm shocked on what you are telling me.
He's shocked?
Yeah.
The Maasai people don't think much about gender, but they have a firm sense of their identity. It's clear that gender ideology is a uniquely Western phenomenon. So where did all this come from? Who came up with it? And why?
Matt, I want to show this to you. You're a parent, right? Okay? It's perfectly normal for 10 years and up. Here's just one page I want you to see here.
For 10 and up, huh?
It's unspeakable what these people have done to our children.
When did that start? When was it decided that we need to start teaching kids about this stuff at such a young age?
So I'll answer that with one word, Kinsey. Kinsey was a social reformer. He wanted to rid society of Judeo-Christian values when it came to sexuality. And he worked very hard to do that, and I would say he succeeded.
Kinsey would be very happy with our culture today. His idea was that children are sexual from birth, that we're all inherently sexual creatures from cradle to grave. He believed that true happiness is found in a life of perverse sexual experimentation, no matter the age.
What came out is that his research was fraudulent.
Kinsey based his fraudulent conclusions on data he collected from convicted sex offenders and child molesters. His research was conducted in prisons, not everyday America. He also performed horrific sexual experiments on children, some under the age of one. His most influential book, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, contains an infamous chart called Table 34, which documents the orgasms of very young kids, including babies as young as 5 months old. But instead of suffering the consequences for his heinous actions, he was and still is celebrated by academia and Hollywood. His ideas form the foundation for sexual education in public schools today. How do we get from this to you can choose your own gender?
Okay, well, now we have another a very important character, and his name was John Money.
John Money was a psychologist and professor at Johns Hopkins University. Gender ideology was his brainchild. In fact, he coined the terms gender identity and gender roles. And according to Money, babies are gender neutral at birth, and ultimately, environment determines whether a person is a man or a woman.
Money was telling the world about his theory that a boy could be raised as a girl and do just fine, and vice versa.
And so Money tried out his theory on two young twin boys, the Reimer twins.
When the twins were 8 months old and they went to be circumcised, the first twin, whose name was Bruce, something went wrong with the machinery and his penis was burnt off. They stopped and didn't do a second circumcision on the other twin, as you might imagine. And the parents, of course, didn't know what to do. How are they going to raise this child?
John Money convinced Bruce's parents to transition him into a girl. Money also conducted sexually abusive experiments on the twins throughout their childhood, including forcing them to simulate sex acts on each other.
He reported up to the age of 10 that this was a complete success. Well, wasn't true.
The results were a disaster. Bruce could never fully accept his female identity. Eventually, his parents told him the truth, and he chose to transition back to a boy, taking the name David. As an adult, David spoke out about the abuse and the damage done to him by John Money.
The girls would do their things with their Barbies and things like that, and that wouldn't interest me.
Mm-hmm.
And things such as trucks and building forts and, getting into the odd fist fight and mm-hmm. climbing trees. That's the kind of stuff that I like, but it was unacceptable, so I'd never...
As a girl?
As a girl, I had no place to fit in.
The trauma that he and his brother and his entire family went through left deep scars. His brother died of an overdose when he was 38, and then David died, committed suicide.
There was never a retraction or an apology from John Money. Instead, his ideas were adopted by mainstream psychology, and they formed the basis of gender ideology today.
Why don't more people know about John Money and Alfred Kinsey?
Evidently, there are forces that don't want this information out.
I never fit. I was an alpha female, a sales executive that kind of just didn't fit in any box. When psychologists or somebody that I was in love with or whatever said that I was in the wrong body, I started to think, well, maybe I am. I'm a biological woman that medically transitioned to appear like a male through synthetic hormones and surgery. I will never be a man. Is it transphobic for me to tell the truth? Why is it that a couple hundred years from now, if you dug up my body, they're gonna go, yeah, that was a woman, had babies.
Can you tell me about the procedures that you had?
I've had 7 surgeries. I've had 1 stress heart attack. I've had a helicopter life ride with a pulmonary embolism. I've had 17 rounds of antibiotics. I had 6 inches of hair on the inside of my urethra for 17 months. Nobody would help me, including the doctor that did this to me, because I lost my insurance. I get infections every 3 to 4 months. I'm probably not going to live very long.
Was there any real discussion of the risks and the side effects? And
no. No, there's not. And I know that people want to think that there is, but there's not. The truth is that medical transition is experimental. We have studies that said that medical transition helps mental health with kids. They've all been retracted, modified, changed. But the only long-term study tells us 7 to 10 years is when transgender people are the most suicidal.
After?
After surgery. But that's transphobic to say. For the first time in history, a marginalized group has a huge dollar sign on the top of their head. We have 5 children's hospitals in the United States promoting that.
And what?
That's a phalloplasty. That's a bottom surgery. We have 5 children's hospitals in the United States telling girls that they can be boys at $70,000 a pop. In a surgery that has a 67% complication rate, that will kill me from infection that I can't sue on. We're butchering a generation of children because nobody's willing to talk about anything. I have 3 kids. At the age that they're doing this to kids, I'm not transphobic. I love my kids, and I love other people's kids, and you should too. This is wrong on so many levels.
Can kids consent? Do you think kids are capable of consenting to this?
No, they're not. Being a parent is loving the hell out of your kids and helping them see around corners.
What's the youngest patient that you've operated on?
The youngest patient I've done vaginoplasty on? Is age 16.
Do you worry that minors just don't understand enough about themselves? They're not neurologically developed enough yet to make permanent life-altering decisions?
Absolutely not.
A young person's self-perception, one day they may be clear, the next day they may be totally confused and not sure, and you're affirming it with hormones that have never been used in this way in the field of medicine.
You're talking about puberty blockers?
Blockers and then opposite sex hormones.
And at what age does the medical transition begin with medication?
So medical affirmation begins when the patient says they're ready for it. So that could be a kiddo who is just starting puberty and panicking because they're getting breast buds or their penis is getting bigger and busier, and they're worried about all kinds of masculine changes. And that way, puberty blockers, which are completely reversible and don't have permanent effects, are wonderful because we can put that pause on puberty. Just like if you were listening to music, you put the pause on and we stop the blockers and puberty would go right back to where it was. The next note in the song just delayed that period of time.
You can just pause puberty.
No, you can't.
And then pick it up?
No, you can't.
In the future?
No, you can't. How many studies do they have, long-term studies, on hormone blockers with children? None.
I just spoke a month or two ago with a mother whose 14-year-old daughter was put on blockers. They discovered after 2 years, this 14-year-old girl has osteoporosis. That's something that, like, old women get.
How can doctors assure parents that a certain medicine is totally safe if, based on what you're saying, they can't possibly know that?
How can they be removing the healthy breasts of 15-year-old girls? How can they be sterilizing kids? How can this whole thing be happening, Matt?
Every child that they convince is transgender and in need of medical transition, it generates $1.3 million to pharma. And we're believing a pharmaceutical company, Lupron, hormone blockers, reversible, so they say. Well, the truth is that in 2003, Lupron was sued and deemed a criminal enterprise by the U.S. government. They paid the most fine of any pharmaceutical company at that time, $874 million, wrote a check.
Is Lupron chemical castration?
Yes. We're giving it to pedophiles, aren't we? We're giving it to people that are dying, and we're giving it to kids, telling them that they were born in the wrong body and it's completely safe.
One of the drugs used is Lupron, right? Which mm-hmm. has actually been used to chemically castrate sex offenders?
You know what? I'm not sure that we should continue with this interview because it seems like it's going in a particular direction.
Well, you're a medical professional.
I am a medical professional.
So you don't want to talk about the drugs that you give to kids or...
Again, I'm a physician and I use medication. You're choosing exploitive words. Drugs I give to kids.
I'm choosing a
chemical
word that was in a dictionary.
That's not a correct term for puberty blocking.
I could like look it up on my phone, but I'm pretty sure if I looked it up... Like,
you can look it up on your phone.
It says medical definition, the administration of a drug to bring about a marked reduction in the body's production of androgens and especially testosterone.
And I'm saying, as a pediatrician who takes care of hundreds of these kids, when you use that terminology, you are being malignant and harmful.
I mean, there are some who would say that giving chemical castration drugs to kids is malignant and harmful.
It's about the context of caring for a child and seeing the suffering that kids can have that have not been in affirmative home situations.
What do you say to the claim that, well, we have to do this for these kids because if we don't, they'll kill themselves. They'll resort to drugs and self-harm.
A lot of them were hurting themselves. A lot of them were suicidal before they even discovered gender. That is never part of the discussion. And they say, what would you rather have? A living daughter or a dead son? If this is what the professionals are saying, it's terrible emotional blackmail.
Hello?
Hey, is this...
This is, yes.
Hey, it's Matt Walsh. Where are you right now?
I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada right now.
Are you able to leave?
I'm not able to leave BC. I can't even go to another province in Canada right now. And it's because I'm technically out on bail.
What happened exactly? How exactly did this get into the courts to begin with?
Right, so what happened is we set up a meeting with BC Children's Hospital. And according to the BC Children's Hospital website, there's gonna be a thorough evaluation and I'm thinking, good, this is gonna be the end of it all. They're gonna clearly see that my child is not the opposite sex. So my ex-wife brings my child into BC Children's Hospital. I get a call less than an hour into that appointment is that they were going to pump her full of cross-sex hormones within the hour. And I put a halt to that. I said, no. They agreed to stop for the moment. They figured, well, let's get the dad on board too. This is all going to be better. Let's just get everybody on the same page. I said, it's not going to happen. So I get a letter from BC Children's Hospital in December of 2018. And it says that under the BC Infants Act, they will start injecting my child with cross-sex hormones. And I have 2 weeks to respond with legal action if I so choose. And so that's how I ended up in court, because I did respond with legal action.
So you called your daughter a she, and you went to jail for that?
It's considered criminal violence to not use the preferred pronouns. It is no different than, let's say, I were to take a broomstick and whack one of my kids over the head. So they were treating it in a similar fashion, that misgendering, mispronouncing my child was the equivalent of family violence.
Is she on the hormone pills now?
She is. The court ordered that she could do whatever she wanted.
2010 until, I would say, 2016, I would say 80% of my clients were trans youth. Now it is, you identify, you take hormones, you do surgery. There isn't any other pathways.
So if you have two parents, one parent wants to affirm the trans identity, the other parent doesn't, who wins that battle?
The one who wants to affirm.
Every time?
Every single time. The goal is to get the parents to affirm the kid.
There's no such thing as a gender-affirming therapist. That's a contradiction in terms.
Why?
Because you don't affirm if you're a therapist. It's not your business to affirm. You come to see me because there's something wrong. Maybe you come to see me because a destructive element of you is wreaking havoc in your life. I'm on the side of the part of you that wants to aim up, man. That's what I'm on the side of. Okay, now I don't know what that means in your case, but we're going to talk about it. Am I going to affirm what you think? No, it's not up to me to affirm it. You don't get a casual pat on the back from a therapist for your pre-existing axiomatic conclusions. That's not therapy. That's a rubber stamp.
Is anybody at any point explaining to these kids the real long-term consequences of hormones and puberty blockers?
I don't think they're explaining it to the kids. So that has frightened me, that it's become, that we're even talking to the kids about it at 10. We're presenting it in schools.
So this generation, they're the lab rats.
Biological sex, binary. It's been binary for like 100 million years, longer than that. Temperament is not binary. Temperament or personality.
So that's gender. Temperament is gender?
Well, gender is not a good word because it's vague and it isn't measurable.
So do we need it? Why can't we just say temperament? What do we even need the word gender for?
Well, I don't need it. Yeah. But what I would say is that people who talk about the diversity in gender are actually talking about diversity in personality and temperament, but they don't know it. You can have a masculine temperament if you're a woman. Maybe 1 in 10 women have the average temperament of a man. And you can have feminine men temperamentally. And it's not that uncommon, because the differences between men and women temperamentally aren't that great. There are masculine girls. There are feminine boys. What are we going to do about that? Carve them up?
You, as someone who started your professional life, you know, transgender care.
Yeah.
Now you're sitting here talking to me. And I'm a dangerous man, I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried about reprisals? Are you worried about how this is going to play among your professional peers?
I am worried that I can't have conversations with any other peers. I don't know any other peer that will speak to me around these things that question it. I just don't think developmentally this is helpful to our children.
You step wrong as a therapist, you say the wrong thing once and like your bloody career is over. And now it's the same with physicians. How's that going to work? You're going to go have an honest conversation with your physician when he's terrified out of his mind that he'll say something politically incorrect during the diagnostic process? Hey, man, you're sick with whatever you want to be. See you later. You want a prescription for something?
I left academia because the climate had become too stifling politically, especially when it comes to the topic of gender identity and the science of gender. It is absolutely impossible to do good research. You basically have to decide beforehand what you're going to find so that you don't upset activists, and that is not how you do science.
Why has this shift occurred where all of a sudden gender and sex have become so politically and culturally charged?
There's a really ugly history between sex researchers and transgender activists. In the past, if any sex researcher spoke out about science that went against activist orthodoxy or particular narratives that activists wanted to promote, they would basically have their personal and professional reputations ruined. So what you see is that only experts who toe the party line and say the things that activists like, those are the people who get attention, those are the people who get lifted up in the media. And also, I would say people are incentivized to go along with the activist narratives and gender ideology because that helps their career.
Trans is very cool. Trans is a way of giving yourself value given the way society at the moment is functioning. All of the things that used to give us anchors of identity have become very fluid or very volatile in recent years. And into that context, I think what you find then is new identities start to fill the void or the vacuum. Whereas in the past, I might have got my sense of self-worth from being part of the village where I grew up. Now I might get my sense of self-worth through being part of the online community that I connect with, or part of the sexual identity community.
So now we are seeing kids that are identifying as animals going to school, and they are purring instead of answering questions, and they meow, and the teachers are not allowed to question it because it's considered a queer identity.
So you have kids that are going to school and they're saying, I'm a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers have to affirm them as a cat.
Yes. So it's not just the
schools are like literal zoos now, basically.
They are.
I am a 27-year-old transgender woman. I am a Wolf Therian and a member of the furry fandom.
When and how did you discover this inner wolfness?
Probably around age 10 or 11. I was watching an anime about wolves and see the wolf running across the screen, and I'm somehow just intrinsically like, oh, that's me.
Have you spent any time around biological wolves?
Yes.
That sounds dangerous also. What context are you?
So I was a volunteer with a preserve, and I've also visited many wolf preserves.
Are you able to communicate with the wolves?
Am I going to have a conversation with a wolf in the way that I'm communicating you and I? Obviously not. Am I going to read their body language, respond appropriately to their behaviors and their nonverbal cues? Yes.
Would you be able to give us an example of this wolf communication?
No. I'm not comfortable doing so.
Okay. All right. How exactly have these ideas become so pervasive?
First of all, I think we need to remember that in the West, at least, we have it drilled into our minds from childhood onwards that personal happiness is the key to individual flourishing. Secondly, we think of ourselves in psychological terms. I am my feelings. And in order for me to be happy, I have to be able to express my feelings. I have to be outwardly that which I feel myself to be inwardly. Thirdly, we're taught that interfering with somebody else's happiness is very bad. We need to acknowledge that there are powerful lobby groups, powerful cultural and political lobby groups driving this thing. Hollywood is pressing LGBTQ plus matters in so many movies. We're seeing it in the way Amazon sets up its algorithms. There are all kinds of factors in society that are pushing what would really be numerically a fairly minority interest into being one of the main political focal points of this generation.
After my operation, I will be a woman.
Why can't she just be a lesbian?
Because she's not a lesbian, Mom. She's a boy.
Because I was born in a girl's body.
Can I ask you a question? Why don't you kiss me?
The whole idea of social contagion, that there could be something in one's social environment that could play some role in somebody coming out identifying as trans, would you say that that is definitely part of your story?
When I look back, I don't think I would have ever even considered seeing myself as a boy without these social aspects, especially if I hadn't joined these online communities.
I identify as non-binary. I'll officially be changing my pronouns to they, them.
My pronouns are he, him, and demon, demon self.
I've been going by they, them pronouns for 4 years now. I'm pretty comfortable with it.
they, them pronouns.
There was literally a period of a few weeks to a few months. I started out as an ally, and then eventually I was starting to identify as transgender.
We are trans models.
So they go on the internet and they're told that all of their problems will be solved if they become a man.
Kids are being taught you might feel like you're a boy, even if you have a vagina and you're a girl. You are what you feel you are.
Some people are girls, some are boys, some are both, some are neither. Gender is all about how we feel on the inside and how we express ourselves.
Ah, the gender fluid teacher. What do I go by in the classroom? I go by Teacher Bambrini.
As a queer and trans teacher, my agenda is to show little boys that they don't have to be like as stereotypically masculine, that they can like paint their nails and wear earrings and like still be a guy and like it can be cool.
So you worry that there could be a sort of social contagion element of this?
A teeny tiny bit, maybe.
Looking back on it, it was the same pattern. Just kids who were really struggling, kids who were very alone and isolated.
They have anxiety. They don't fit in with their peers. They don't know where they belong.
Maybe they didn't have a welcoming family life. They just got caught up in these communities online.
Then they discover, hey, there's this group of people. And they also don't fit in. They're different. They're not sure who they are. Gee. That's where I fit in.
Today is the day before my top surgery. I am waking up tomorrow at 5 a.m. to have a subcutaneous mastectomy.
We're telling children when they haven't fully developed that all you have to do is medically transition and you fit in. I was one of those kids. It got me at 42. Your child doesn't have a chance.
Trans rights. This is only going in one direction. You will respect us.
As parents come to understand more about gender identity, kids are coming out at younger ages.
It's exciting. And you know who gets it right? Is this next generation.
The next generation who's already telling us that our antiquated ideas of things have to be a certain way just don't apply to them.
They're rejecting a lot of our social mores. They're tweaking the system.
I just don't think it's realistic to put this decision on them that is basically saying, are you okay with the risk of permanent health effects that you can never, ever reverse? How can you ask that of such a small child?
I'm a physician and I use medication.
Certainly, it's a bit of a Faustian bargain.
Puberty blockers, which are completely reversible.
You keep invoking the word truth, which is condescending and rude.
Some women have penises, right? Some men have vaginas.
Does a chicken cry? Does a chicken commit suicide?
I'm not a woman, so I can't really answer that.
I guess because I got a dick.
Somehow this madness has infected our entire society. Am I the crazy one? I'm done asking questions.
Tanner Cross is on administrative leave for what he said about gender identity. He said he would not call a student who's transgender by their preferred pronoun.
I can't lie to children, and I got to also represent a whole community that believes in biological facts and scientific facts, and I can't do that to kids.
You get into teaching because you love kids. This policy started coming into play, and I was like, wait a minute, it's causing me, I'm going to have to lie to my kids, the ones I've always wanted to protect.
Do we have assaults in our bathrooms or our locker rooms regularly?
To my knowledge, we don't have any records of assaults occurring in our restroom.
The predator transgender student is, or person, simply, it does not exist.
The Virginia Department of Education says it is now reviewing whether the Loudoun County School District has properly reported cases of sexual assault. This comes after a 15-year-old was charged on two separate occasions for assaulting two different students at different schools. Dozens rallying tonight in Loudoun County to protest the school's policies.
So that includes limiting who can talk during public comment portions of board meetings. One speaker leased property in the area just so he could speak tonight. Fox 5's Paris Jones is live with the details.
That's right. Conservative commentator Matt Walsh told me he's leasing out someone's basement in Loudoun County so he'd be able to speak during tonight's meeting.
I decided last week to fulfill my lifelong dream of being a Loudoun County resident. You know, I've always felt like I've lived in Tennessee. I felt sort of like a Virginian trapped in a Tennessean's body. I identify as sort of state fluid, I guess.
This is Matt Walsh. He tweeted, "How do you do, fellow Virginian?"
Now I just got to explain to my wife and kids that we're going to be staying in someone's basement.
They tried to muzzle me by not allowing me to speak. And when that didn't work, they tried to muzzle me with a mask.
I would thank you all for allowing me to speak to you tonight, but you tried not to allow it, yet here I am. Now, you only give us 60 seconds, so let me get to the point. You are all child abusers. You prey upon impressionable children and indoctrinate them into your insane ideological cult, a cult which holds many fanatical views, but none so deranged as the idea that boys are girls and girls are boys. By imposing this vile nonsense on students to the point even of forcing young girls to share locker rooms with boys, you deprive these kids of safety and privacy and something more fundamental too, which is truth. If education is not grounded in truth, then it is worthless. Worse, it is poison. You are poison. You are predators. I can see why you try to stop us from speaking. You know that your ideas are indefensible. You silence the opposing side because you have no argument. You can only hide under your beds like pathetic little gutless cowards, hoping we shut up and go away. But we won't. I promise you that. Johnny's a boy with a big imagination. One day he's a dog, the next day a crustacean. Johnny's mom loves her son's make-believe time. You're Johnny the Walrus till you change your mind.
Matt Walsh is out with a new children's book. The book is called Johnny the Walrus. What is this about?
It sold out on Amazon in a few hours.
So I have embraced my true calling as a children's author, hence the cardigan. The book is about a little boy who's very imaginative and playful. And like, I have four kids and they all have an imagination.
Yeah.
And he likes to pretend to be different things. And one day he pretends to be a walrus. And unfortunately his mother is very progressive and thus confused. And so she's convinced by the internet and by society that if your child is identifying as something, then he really is that thing. And so she tries to raise her child as a walrus, as a sort of trans walrus, respecting his self-identity. One morning, he came downstairs barking and clapping, wood spoons for tusks and sock fins a-flapping. He had spoons in his mouth. He was pretending to be a walrus. "I'm Johnny the Walrus," he said with a roar.
"Johnny the Walrus, nedo karalo gueru."
This is a hot topic.
Yes.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's good for us to have these conversations so people open their minds and relearn and unlearn to what we've been taught.
So I want this to be a safe place to talk about and learn.
As you can see, there's an ongoing evolution of language and how people can identify.
My next guest, author and conservative host of Daily Wire's The Matt Walsh Show, talking about his recently published children's book that has since been removed online by a popular large retail chain. Now, Matt says gender is not a social construct, but rooted firmly in biology. True?
True. As human beings, we have a sex, male or female, but as a biological scientific fact. Now, gender is a linguistic term. Words have gender. People don't. You can have whatever self-perception you want, but you can't expect me to take part in that self-perception or to take part in this kind of charade, this theatrical production. You don't get your own pronouns, just like you don't get your own prepositions or your own adjectives. You know, it's like if I were to tell you, my adjectives are handsome and brilliant, and no matter whenever you're talking about me, you have to describe me as handsome and brilliant because that's how I identify.
So you think it's a delusion?
Well, this is one of the problems with this left-wing gender ideology, is that no one who espouses it can even tell you what these words mean. Like, what is a woman? Well, can you tell me what a woman is?
No, I can't.
Womanhood is something that is an umbrella term. It includes people
that
who...
That describes what?
People who identify as a woman.
What is that?
Was to each their own. Okay. Each woman, each man, each person is going to have a different relation with their own gender identity and define it differently.
So
you want to reduce
problem.
Women, you want to reduce men down to maybe just their genetics, our genitals, our chromosomes, right? That's what you're
what
saying.
You want to do is that, what you, what you want to do is appropriate women. You want to appropriate womanhood and turn it into basically a costume that could be worn.
Joining us on stage is Dr. Susie Denbo, associate professor at Kent State University. Dr. Denbo, how do you feel those who oppose using pronouns are taking the wrong approach in this conversation?
There's the extreme approach that you are admittedly taking. And then there's also just ordinary people that might not be comfortable with the language change.
She began by saying that my view is extreme. Okay, so the view that every single person on Earth has held up until 15 seconds ago is extreme. They are conflating gender and sex because on one hand they say, well, you got your biological sex, but then your gender is whatever social construct. But then they turn around and say that trans women are women. So a man who identifies with the gender, the social construct of womanhood, actually is a woman.
Part of me wants to ask why you care so much, because it's really not that big of a deal.
Oh, yeah. Can I answer that? I care about the truth. So basic truth matters. I want to live in a society where people care about the truth. I care about children. And these insane ideas about gender are being foisted on kids. And that bothers me quite a bit. I care about the women who are having their opportunities stolen from them. I care quite a bit, yeah.
I wanted us to have a safe place to be able to talk about this, and it seems like we should just keep the dialogue going and hopefully find some middle ground.
What do you say to parents? A parent comes to you and says, my 8-year-old son is telling me he's a girl.
Yeah, great. You're gonna have him do an experimental procedure that creates the most suicidal ideation of any other population 7 to 10 years after, you know, transition. And here's what I tell parents. You don't have the right to medically transition your child.
We have no research on long-term hormone use. We will be seeing the first generation of long-term hormone use, and we already know at least with 10 years of hormones, you're giving yourself cancer.
What's your message to parents who are trying to cope with this?
The first thing is to tell parents that they're not alone. It is our responsibility as a parent to be the frontline defense for our children. And I know with my child, a lot of people will say, was it worth it? Because you've now seemingly have lost your child. And I'll say, yeah, but at least I've saved my conscience and my morals and my convictions. And when my child turns 25 and says, Dad, where were you? I'll say, I was there. I was fighting as hard as I could. I was not prepared to let this happen.
Does this really matter is another question. So
matters for those who are getting double mastectomies when they're 16.
Why should we care if we live in a society where gender is
fluid?
Well,
I cared because my government decided that I had to call people by the terms that they designated, or I'd be subject to legal penalties. It's like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't care what your reason is. You don't get control of my tongue.
We live in a climate now in which no one seems to care about the safety of women and girls who are going through a very developmentally challenging time in their lives. They may not want to share spaces with their male peers. I would not be surprised in a few years, there will no longer be women's sports. It will literally be men's sports and transgender sports.
The question being asked by the trans person is a legitimate one. How can I be happy?
the answer being given by having my body transformed to look like the other gender, by having myself pumped full of hormones, clearly isn't working. And we have to find a better and a more humane way of dealing with individuals who are struggling with gender dysphoria.
I have the utmost compassion for people who suffer from gender dysphoria. It's a nightmare for them and their families.
The vast majority, up to 90% of kids, if they go through a normal puberty, they're going to be okay. They will be at peace with their bodies, and they will have avoided dangerous and experimental medical interventions and surgeries.
Maybe we're up against a battle here, up against a hill, that perhaps, you know, we're not going to necessarily win today, but if we don't pave the way for a win, we'll never get there.
So we're going on this journey. Boys can be girls, girls can be boys. Men can be women, women can be men. It makes me wonder, what is a woman?
What is a woman? A woman is someone who claims that as their identity. It could be many things to many people.
I think the question really brings up the fact that it is pretty relative, right? That if you ask women across race, across identities, across class, across culture, you will get a different answer.
Some of it is, you know, based on biology. Some of it is based on hormones. Some of it is based on what you wear and how you present yourself.
A woman is not anything in particular. It's not, there's no one particular thing.
There is not one particular thing.
A woman is someone who says that she is a woman and transitions to be a
who
woman.
Who says that she's what? Can you define the word woman without using the word woman?
And it's actually kind of like, it's a curious question, but I...
We've been journeying across the country asking people this question, and almost nobody can answer it.
What is a woman?
What is a woman?
Marry one and find out. Mm-hmm.
So I should go home and ask my wife, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been meaning to ask you something.
Uh-huh.
What is a woman?
An adult human female who needs help opening this.
Provide a definition for the word woman.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not.
The fact that you can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about. Just last week, an entire generation of young girls watched as our taxpayer-funded institutions permitted a biological man to compete and beat a biological woman in the NCAA swimming championships. What message do you think this sends to girls who aspire to compete and win in sports at the highest levels?
Senator, I'm not sure what message that sends. If you're asking me about the legal issues related to it, those are topics that are being hotly discussed, as you say, and could come to the court.